was asked to do this tonight, I'm going, okay, God, you have to give me direction. Where are we going? So the first thing I always do is go grab a Bible. And I have several, and I grab the biggest one I have. It's a study Bible. I said, okay, where do we go from here? The Lord says, look at this Bible you have in your hand. It's very important. I know that. It's the Word. He said, where did you get it? Did you buy it? I said, no. Was it a gift to you? No, it wasn't a gift. Where did you find it? I found it in a dumpster. A brand new New Living Translation in the box, laying on other people's trash. It's right here. I have found two other Bibles like this in dumpsters. One of them went on the mission field with me. It's now on the mission field. They went to Africa. I brought it home with me, and I gave it to a young missionary in Mexico on our last trip. She can't read English, but I'm pretty sure she's on her way now. What the Lord's trying to show us is He's in the business of restoration. With restoration comes repurposing. If anyone watches TV and HDTV and people are renewing houses and rebuilding old wrecks, there's a man who rebuilds Coca-Cola machines and things like that. Things are being repurposed. I enjoy doing those things. I cruise dumpsters. There's items in our house came from a dumpster. It's amazing what people throw away. We recently found a dinette chair sitting by the dumpster and some paint and polyurethane. That's now in our dining room. And you would pay a lot of money for the chair if you went to buy it at an antique shop. That's what they do. But what we're here about tonight is we're about repurposing people. That's what Jesus is about. Many of us are new in the Lord. Some of us have been around a while. For the new in the Lord, you might be asking, okay, here I am, God, what's next? What do I do next? And for us who have been around the block a few times, the Lord changes your seasons, your mission. You're being repurposed. It doesn't stop. We need that, otherwise we become very frustrated because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, where we're doing it, and how we're doing it. And when you go on a mission field, you don't have that problem because you're everything. Well, we have a mission field. It's not just in these walls, it's out on the streets. We have a crisis in our country, not just one. We have a cultural crisis. The other items are symptoms of the disease. If you would read with me Romans 8:28. Out of the new dumpster version of the New Living Translation. I was looking at the list of all the Bibles that are available. I might start one. Romans 8:28. Very important. scripture in my life, and I think it's going to be in several people here. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Sometimes we forget His purpose instead of our purpose. God is working to fulfill His purpose as we speak. A new perspective, mindset, trust in God, not the world. Our security is in heaven and not on the earth. And not wavering in persecution or pain. When you become a Christian, a new Christian, we don't focus on that last sentence too much. But as you start walking in your calling, you'll find out. And the real measure of a Christian is, are you still standing after that happens to you? Where do you go? What do you do? Are you faithful? Isaiah 43:16 explains to us a new exodus will take place through a new wilderness. Past miracles are nothing compared to what God will do for His people in the future. We've arrived. In Isaiah 18, verse 18, chapter 43, it says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I'm about to do something new. I have already begun. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Wild animals in the fields will thank me. Jackals and owls too, giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make the rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed." I believe tonight the doors of opportunity are going to be unlocked for people here and destiny, young and old. It's tangible. It's tangible in our lives. We just can't sit still. One of the things that I know, and we know, we agree, my wife and I and my daughter, that we need to invest heavily into the youth, the young people of our country. Several years ago, we were at a training camp with Josh McDowell. And he told us this. It was 1991. We were in a season of absolutes, but it was drifting to relativism. And we had 3 years to turn it around. We obviously have failed. We need to teach our young people precepts and principles, which we do fairly well, but we don't teach them purpose. We let the world teach them purpose, and we have seen the results. We're reaping that. Revelation 3, verse 7. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And when he closes, no one can open. In my past experience, I had the opportunity and the privilege to be a registrar in a Bible college. We had 1,200 students. One of my duties was to facilitate a graduation that was to qualify the students to graduate. We ordered even the caps and the gowns and the reception, the guest speaker, and made accommodations for 2,600 guests. The finale was I had the privilege of reading the names of the graduates. We usually graduated 400 students twice a year. And what was remarkable, reading those names of those young men and women, halfway through, I was holding on to the podium with both hands, otherwise it would be on the floor. Because the power of their destiny was so strong. When you saw their faces come up and get their diploma and the joy, but you knew what they faced. But you also saw the hope of what they were going to create in the world. It's work. We need to learn work ethic in the spiritual realm. I have lots of notes. I always make more notes than I need, and I throw away 3/4 of them. There's a lot of prophetic word out there right now that we're heading into a season of reformation. It goes beyond revival. We need to reform our thinking, our theology, back to what the original missionary had set in place for us. That's Jesus. We're few in number here tonight. He didn't have many, and they turned the world upside down. So wherever you're at right now, I know some of you are in very hard places. But you have a destiny, and there's an opportunity to go there. We have to walk through a desert to get to that well. We had an excellent word last Wednesday about Egypt, getting the Egypt out of us. Some of us are doing that right now. It grieves me when I see someone just reject that. As a father, I rejoice when I see my children excel and they realize their purpose. I want to see that for grandkids. We have grandkids going to college, have gone to college. It takes work. But a father's heart wants to see every person excel. There's no shortcuts. When we had that Bible school in Ghana, all these young people wanted to come to the United States. They said, well, we can come to the U.S., and we can work for $8 an hour, and we can do this, that, and the other. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. First of all, $8 doesn't go very far. And that's not what your purpose is. That's not your calling. We came here to teach you to teach the other young Ghanaians the Word of God, not go to Disneyland. But a lot of the world sees that. Like our brother Andrew, he's going out to lecture young students so they can take the word to the people in their region. That's vision. It gives them a purpose, not to distract them with the things of the Western world. So tonight, if there's anyone here who would like to be prayed for repurposing destiny, we're available. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. This is a word that our brother wants to share with us. I see you, I hear you, for I am with you. Your love makes my heart to shine. For it is my heart that gives you life. As you pray my name, I feel your love. And to those you pray, I feel your embrace. As I am, the great I am holds you. My life, my love lives in you and through you. So know this, my child, my humble servant, I am with you always, and I am with, as the ocean lives vastly with color and greatly more, my love lives in you. So hold on to my word, and my word will hold you. Sweetly I live within you through my Holy Spirit. Love always, Father God, Jesus, Savior, Holy Spirit. Embracer of thy heart, remember I always I am. Given by the Lord Jesus through his Holy Spirit. Thank you. This is for everyone here. As we close tonight, remember that we're not walking alone. Those who came for prayer are going to have questions, because once their destiny is revealed, they're going to need some experienced people to walk with them. That's what we're about, because many of us have been down that path. And whether you're young or old, so as we close, we'll give the blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord shine upon you. His countenance will shine with love when he sees you. So the Lord bless and keep you as you go out in the world to carry his love to all the world. In Jesus' name.